I'm actually missing Lag BaOmer this year. I'm going to be on the plane on Motzei Shabbos, so I cut out 7 hours of my Lag BaOmer, and the rest of the time I'll be, sitting probably in the last row of a plane, smelling the delicious smells that you get in the last row of a plane. So I'm missing the normal festivities of Lag BaOmer, which, to say the truth, in a certain part of me, and I presume for many of you also, it doesn't bother me that much that I'm missing so much of Lag BaOmer. It's been much, much harder for me to connect. All honesty, I never really fully connected to Lag BaOmer and all its depth. I was never one to go to all the hilulas and things like that. But I know that's shocking. But since the Meron tragedy, it became much, much more difficult to connect to Lag BaOmer as a happy day and to really even feel any understanding. From strictly halachic perspective, we know what Rama writes. Umar bin bo ktsas simcha, veinom bo tachnun. We don't say tachnun on Lag BaOmer. But again, even that ktsas simcha sometimes is difficult. It's difficult to think of it as a happy day because our minds just go to that terrible place. I'm sure many of you, particularly those of you who are the same age as Dani, Zichrono Livracha, many of you probably live with those memories every single day. I do, even though I didn't personally know, I don't think, anyone who was killed, but I know the families, and I know, and I remember how it felt, and I remember just feeling like I couldn't breathe, I couldn't eat, I couldn't, just that the enormity of that tragedy. Prior to that, there was some small part of me that, wanted to come as a tourist, on the wall to see what Ramesh Weinberger does with that whole hilula and, to at least get a little part of the experience. But that part was stamped out by that Lag BaOmer, I feel like. It's not there anymore. So I wanted to share with you a little bit how I now reconcile Lag BaOmer in my mind, and maybe it will be a point that you could connect to in terms of appreciating what this day is from a non-Kabbalistic perspective. Pri Chadosh asks the Kasha. Pri Chadosh raises the famous Kasha. The Gemara in Yevamistav Samach Beis tells us that 12,000 zugos of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died between Pesach and Shavuos because Lo Nagu Kavod Zelzeh. Obviously, the Gemara doesn't say about Lag BaOmer, but the Gemara says between Pesach and Shavuos, and the world was shomim, the world was desolate from Torah. Ad Shabbat Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Sinu Shabbatarim, the Shanalem, until Rabbi Akiva came to Rabbi Sinu Shabbatarim, and he taught them. And who were the Rabbi Sinu Shabbatarim? They're the people who taught us all of Torah about that. Ramei, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lozer, and Shemua. The Heim, Emidu Torah. They're the ones that were Mamid the Torah. So Pri Chadosh raises the question, that's such a strange thing. Miu Yesh L'daktik B'Simcha Zu Lama. What do we have such a simcha for? V'mishum Shapasku Milamus. What, it's because they stopped dying? That's why we have a simcha? Mabakach. Hare lo nishar achad mehen v'kula mesu. They stopped dying because they were all dead. There was no one left to die. That's why they stopped dying. Umativa shel simcha zu. So what's the source of simcha on Lag BaOmer? So Pri Chadosh struggles with this issue, that how could it be? Forget about Lag BaOmer, just on the conclusion of the dying. Why is that at all a source of simcha? Conclusion of the dying was because everyone was dead. It's the most profound sadness you could imagine. Furthermore, if Gedalia Shur develops the idea that the Sfiras Omer period is divided into three parts, corresponding, he says, to the Gimel Amudei Olam. The first set of days relates to the Avoda, Tavoda, right? There's Torah Avoda Minutz Chasadim. So the first set of days relates to Avoda because Korbanos were brought on Pesach, and Sfiras Omer starts during Pesach. The second third relates to Chesed, and that's why they include Pesach Sheni, which is a great Chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for Klal Yisrael, that we get to have second chances. Today's Pesach Sheni Shel Galios, so if you want to. Okay, so the if you need to skip Tachlin on Thursday, so it has Pesach Sheni in the second third. So that relates to the Chesed because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a second chance, and then starting with Lag BaOmer, the emphasis is moved to Torah, right? The Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasadim. So the emphasis starting with Lag BaOmer is the emphasis is shifted to Torah. That's when Talmidei Chachamim were no longer dying, and the new Talmidim started their journey of rebuilding the Torah. But how do we understand Lag Bomer as a day of Kabbalah Satorah? I mean, the Kasha of Pri Chodesh is pretty strong, because as much as it's a day where Torah began, there's a total obliteration of the Torah that existed up until that point. So if this is what 5 Talmidim were able to accomplish, can you imagine what 24,000 Talmidim would have been able to accomplish? So to understand it as a day of leaving out Torah Sanistar, which is hard to leave out, because Torah Sanistar is very much associated with Lag BaOmer, and in that sense it's Kabbalah Satorah. But from a pure Nikla perspective, so what exactly is a Kabbalah Satorah? It's a Chorban HaTorah. So it occurred to me, and maybe this was obvious to everybody all along, that the day of Lag BaOmer has always only been special because it's a yard site. From Nigla and Nista, right? Meaning that's what makes Lag BaOmer special. It started off as the yard site of Yehoshua ben Nun. It's evidently the yard site of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. It's for sure the yard site of the Rama. I mean, it was a yard site of great people. It was the anniversary of the marking of the tragic deaths of 24,000 people. And maybe the emotions that remain from tragedy that we saw in our lifetime should make it easier to connect the Lag BaOmer, not harder to connect the Lag BaOmer. Because that's what Lag BaOmer always was. It was always marking the death of holy people. That's what Lag BaOmer always was. But how do you turn that into a positive? How do you turn the marking of the death of holy people, the remembering of the death of holy people, into a positive? So Rav Yeruchim Olshin in Yireach L'Mo'ad and Maimer Chav explains that when you think about Rabbi Akiva's willingness to teach new Talmidim, it's an absolute pella. An absolute pella that he was willing to teach new Talmidim. He just saw a churban that was ayom v'nora. 24,000 of his Talmidim perished. I don't know, I've been a Rebbe for a little while. I've lost Talmidim. It's crushing. It's crushing. I mean, it's absolutely crushing. I kept 24,000 Talmidim. 24,000 Talmidim perished. A normal person can't go on with life after that. A normal person would throw in the towel. Rabbi Akiva rose, b'kol kocho, and he said, b'bokas rose harecha l'erev al tanach yadecha, just like the Gemara darshins that pasuk when it comes to peruvu, that a person is supposed to try to have children even when they're in their later years, so too, when it comes to being mamet talmidim, a person doesn't retire from being mamet talmidim when he gets a little bit older, as long as he still has his kochos, he still has the ability. And even if the talmidim that he had earlier didn't pan out, and it didn't work out, and they're not going to be able to carry on in Masori, he's got to keep on going. And that was Rabbi Akiva's defining quality. The Avos Rabbi Nassim says the famous story of 40-year-old Rabbi Akiva watching how the water slowly impacted the rock, and reasoning that, oh, if that water could slowly impact the rock over all that time, and so Torah, which is Kasha Kabarzel, should all the more so be able to impact my life. Most people at the age of 40, not knowing Aleph Beis, would say it's too late. Right? Most people, they've shifted their own dreams onto their children by that point. Right, meaning their own dreams of becoming a Talmud Chacham, they no longer aspire to be a Talmud Chacham. They hope that their child will become a Talmud Chacham. Of course, they don't realize that the greatest bet, that the greatest investment, or the greatest chance of making the child Talmud Chacham is by becoming Talmud Chacham yourself, because the kid is going to be able to tell stories like Rabbi Reisman told us the other day. Watching his father wake up and move his alarm clock from 4:15 a.m. when he worked as a baker to 4 a.m. when he retired and he was able to sit and learn. So you grow up like that, yeah. So then you become Rabbi Reisman. You grow up seeing a father like that, so that's okay. But most people would, most normal people, by the time they hit the age of 40, they don't know Aleph Beis, they wouldn't have a Havamina to become a Talmud Chacham. They give up on achieving something meaningful from a Talmud Torah perspective. But that was not Rabbi Akiva's attitude. He never had any sense of Yayush. And that refusal to be Miyayish is highlighted by the Alkut Me'am Lo'ez. He writes on Koheles that afal pi shekal hatoreach ha'otzim sheshika b'talmidov b'chol yomav avad b'zman kotzer, that even though all of the efforts, all of the kochos that he put into his talmidim for his entire life was lost in such a short period of time, in a matter of weeks, lo hisya'ish, he didn't give up. V'hosif laharbitz Torah v'niskay matoraso, and he was marbitz Torah more, and the Torah was niskayim. And that's the defining quality. The Me'am Lo'ez points out further that refusal to be miyayish is how Malchus Beis David got started. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tzadi Aleph, says that the Shofet, Iv's son, was really Boaz. He had 30 sons, 30 daughters, and he made 120 celebrations for their weddings. wow, that's a large family, right? It makes the Chevron Raman Eshkol feel like they're just getting started, right? And for each one of his 30 sons and 30 daughters, each one of their weddings, he made two parties. Echad bebeis aviv, echad bebeis chava. And then, v'kula meisu b'chaya. Every single one of them died during his lifetime. When he married Rus, Boaz was a zaken muflak. Yalkut Shimoni tells us, osa halayla sheba aleha meis. The very night that he was boel her, he died. The very last thing that he did in his life was to sow the seed, plant the seed, in a literal sense, of the Malchus Beis David. That was the very last thing that he did in his life, after everything was lost. And we see it in other generations as well, an incredible midah. Rav Asher Weiss likes to talk about his Rebbe. The Kleisenberg Rebbe was sent to Auschwitz, where his wife and nine of his children were sent before him, and they all died there. So after the war, he got remarried, and he had five daughters and two sons. And he rebuilt a Hasidic dynasty stronger than it had been before the war. Most of the Hasidic dynasties in Poland were totally, totally gone. In Hungary, even, most of them totally, totally gone. And then here's a Hasidic dynasty that grew stronger after everything was wiped out. Rav Aaron Cutler escaped before the war, but he lost his entire world, his whole yeshiva. The yeshiva in Kletsk was all gone. Everything he knew was gone. So he managed to start a small little yeshiva in a town that no one ever heard of, Lakewood, New Jersey. And, what's going to be with that? And it turns out to be, the biggest yeshiva in the world. So the celebration of Lag BaOmer is not necessarily about the particular Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva per se, because even his new Talmidim didn't have any Lag BaOmer accomplishments, right? I mean, I don't think we know of his new Talmidim having particular accomplishments, or at least not most of them. The celebration is about the attitude of Rabbi Akiva to carry on and to not be misyayish about a situation. And maybe that's why Lag BaOmer kicks off the third trimester of Sfira, which relates to Torah. Because that midah is the critical midah in achieving in Torah. Because by its very nature, becoming a Talmid Chacham is a process that is always laden with setbacks and frustrations. The idea that a person can become a Talmid Chacham just by listening to good shiurim on double speed, you'll become a knowledgeable Amaretz. You know, Rav David Cohen was talking about a porter, that used to be the biggest insult, right? So that's what a person becomes. But to become a Talmid Chacham, a person has to struggle, a person has to have frustration, a person has to read through a shach and not get what it's talking about. A person has to go through a whole year of Yoredeya and look back and say, I don't think I know Yoredeya, and really struggle with it. They're in nefilos. People have all sorts of excuses and reasons that they don't accomplish in learning. There was a Rebbe in elementary school who looked at me the wrong way, or turned me off from learning, or I was never able to fully grasp the Torah that was being taught to me. Whatever the challenges were that people had, the success stories in learning are people who could look at themselves in their 30s, in their 40s, in their 50s, with whatever level of knowledge they do or don't have, and say that there's no reason that I can't accomplish great things in Torah learning. Meaning someone could look at themselves when they're 47 years old and say, it's still not too late for me to be a Talmid Chacham. It could still happen. And in that light, we could better appreciate the message of Lag BaOmer, how to deal with the tragedy we saw in our lifetime, but really the tragedies that happened way before our lifetime on Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is a day that we mark terrible, terrible tragedy. But it's not that we're marking the terrible tragedy. We're marking the koach of Klal Yisrael to be able to get up from such a tragedy and continue and grow and be. So the message of Lag BaOmer is that no tragedy, no matter how great it is, should deter us. When we're given reason to grieve, we're marbe b'simcha k'tzas instead. We figure out how to move forward, how to be marbe b'simcha k'tzas, and to accomplish more with our lives. So maybe we can't reestablish the entire Mesorah of Torah Shebal Peh or build the foundations of the Malchus Beis David, but we certainly aim for that. Right? We certainly aim to rebuild those foundations of the Malchus Beis David and to strengthen the Mesorah of the Torah Shebal Peh. And in our own lives, our own communities, to build ourselves up. That's what Lag BaOmer, that's what's going to be on my mind as I'm sitting as the the air on the back of the plane wafts through the air. You know, so that's what I'll be thinking about on Lag BaOmer, and maybe that's meaningful to some of you as well. And we should be zocha to see how Klal Yisrael, through all of the challenging times, how we're able to appreciate that we suffer tragedies, but understand that it's never a reason to stop, that we have to just keep on going. Talk a little bit to some of the families of the fallen Chayalim. It's almost to a man, to a woman, they all have this attitude. Very rare is the family that I've seen or that I've spoken to that says, ah, this whole thing wasn't worth it, this whole endeavor of the Medina and everything else. No, there's a belief that there was a cause over here and there's something to live for and we have to move on and we have to grow and we have to be and we have to... And that Amir Hashem should drive us to do a lot of good things. Okay. So, yes, I wasn't sure what to do.